Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Your cash plan is the most critical element of your business projection. That's a quote, ladies and gentlemen, out of a book I'm holding in my hand, that is the author of which is Tim Berry. And the book is called Hurdle, H-U-R-D-L-E, the book on business planning. Tim is our and the world's business planning expert. He is the president of Palo Alto Software, business which produces and distributes Business Plan Pro for PCs and Business Plan Toolkit for Macintosh and a bunch of other stuff we'll get him to tell us about in a minute. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's our good friend, and he's here today to talk to us about the issue that I read to you a minute ago, and that's the fact that your cash plan is very critical to your business. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's always good to have you with us. I like reading quotes out of your book to my audience.
Oh, well,
because it's good stuff. And you know, one of the things that you and I both learned a long time ago, and that my audience has heard me say many times, and that is that profit is the queen of business, but cash is king. And when I say that to them, I'm sure there are some people who just don't understand what I mean.
Well, you know, I think that cash thing, the reason as a planner I keep harping on cash is that it's the hidden element. It's not obvious, and that's why it's so much more important.
Mm-hmm.
I gather what you mean by profit is queen and cash is king is that profit is good, we all like it, but we spend cash and we go broke without cash.
That's right.
And they're different. That's what's really so critical. We think we're going to have cash if we have profits.
Yep.
We all do.
And that's not true.
And it ain't necessarily so.
That's right. That's not necessarily so. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The thing that happens, when I see this happening with small business owners, when I see the light come on in their eyes, and I realize that they now have an understanding of the relationship between cash and accounting. When I see that they have now learned that cash and accounting are not the same thing and how to work with both of them, whenever those lights come on in their eyes, I know they're going to make it when that happens. But until that happens, I'm worried about them.
And until that happens, you worry about them. Let me ask you and the audience some questions like, which is more dangerous, a pounding surf or an undertow?
obviously, the undertow.
Turns out, statistically, I was once a journalist, yes, you're going to have more deaths with a beach that has an undertow than one that has a visible, obvious surf.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, this one I'm not sure statistically, but I'm here in Eugene, Oregon. We have a lot of rivers running around.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that in the newspaper, more people drown in the deep, calm-looking part of our Willamette River than in the whitewater part.
Hmm.
For the same reason. And it's the same reason that we have to focus on cash in a business plan. So you can guess the reason.
Well, I really like your example of the undertow. That's a very descriptive way to describe what cash is doing in your business, isn't it?
Well, I hope it is, because the point I want to make with the undertow and with the river is they're hidden.
Mm-hmm.
They're not obvious. It turns out that the drowning in the deep, strong, calm-looking river is more frequent because people aren't thinking that it's dangerous. And of course, in a big river, while you're swimming, you get caught on something on the bottom, and the current pushes you down, and that's not a fun story. But
right,
it's hidden. It seems peaceful.
Well, it's
seems
a false sense of
dangerous.
It's a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a euphoria. It reminds me of what I was taught when I was learning to fly, Tim, and when you get up into elevations where the oxygen is thin, the condition that you get is euphoria. Now, most of us think that euphoria is when you're very happy and everything is going wonderful. Well, the real definition of euphoria is a false sense of well-being. And here you are holding this financial statement that your accountant is just giving you, and it's got all these profits on the bottom line, and your sales growth is way ahead of budget, and you're just making money hand over fist on the bottom line of your operating statement, you might be having a false sense of well-being.
It's interesting that euphoria comes up, because here's one of the ironies. You are more likely to have cash problems when your sales and profits are up than when they're down. People don't understand that, but that's why it's hidden, too. Your cash problems are more likely when you're growing.
Right.
People don't understand that, but the other day I was working, we did a presentation for some small construction companies up the river from here. And we took sample companies in business plans where you could look at them, and we basically were talking about a company that sells $50,000 a month, and its cost of goods is 20, and it's profitable for about $4,000 a month. And if you take that company and show that company just every month the same, it almost doesn't matter whether or not it's got receivables or inventory. If it's not growing and it's making a profit...
And you're collecting your money.
And you're even if you're not collecting your money promptly, but because you're not growing after the initial period, mm-hmm. So you're getting your money from January and April. If you're flat and you're not growing, cash flow works out.
That's right.
In this number base. And then we took that, we looked at it, and if it takes you 2 months to get your money, then you need more working capital, and because you're going to wait a little bit, but it's not a big difference. Then you turn it around and say, okay, let's take the same company and give it some growth and see what happens. So now you're looking at the bars on the sales chart go up and the profits go up, and you were using this reference to euphoria, and it's looking pretty good. People are happy.
My marketing plan is working.
Yeah.
My operating plan is working.
But what happens is, if it's an all-cash company, you're still fine. Everybody's happy.
Yep.
But then where do you find an all-cash company these days? If they're selling to business particularly, then they're going to be selling on net 30 terms.
Mm-hmm. On
credit. And if they have products, they have inventory. We varied the things a little bit with this group of 20 people that, we had the projector and the computer and whatever. But
right.
When we started to turn the growth up over and over again with different sets of assumptions, when you're happy, the cash is going down.
Having a great visit with our good friend Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software, the developers and distributors of the country's best-selling business planning software, Business Plan Pro for PCs and Business Plan Toolkit for Macintosh. Tim, give us your website, please.
Thank you. It's www.bplans.com is the website I'll give you first, because that's absolutely free. On that bplans at bplans.com, we have more than 24 sample business plans now that you can read, look at. They're all free for the reading.
It's an outstanding site.
We have expert answers. You can ask your questions, and that's free. We have a plan wizard. We've got a mini plan on that site now where you can also for free kind of do a reality check or sanity check on a new business idea. You can go through four or five topics and create a little mini plan that you can email to somebody and decide from that mini plan exercise, do I go on and develop the full plan, or maybe I better forget it and keep my day job?
Folks...
So that was www.bplans.com.
All right. Go ahead. You got another one. I want you to...
Okay. The main company site is www.paloaltosoftware.com. PALOALTO software.com.
And that's where they can go to find out more about and order your software.
They can order that. They can download it right there. That's our main site.
And you follow it up with a mailed set of, mail them a set of instructions if they want that?
That's the buyer's choice. Actually, we recommend that you, if you're anxious, you download right now. But as you make that order, then towards the end of it, it's do you want us to send the manual and the CD by follow-up? And I think it's an extra $10.
But. Yeah, and worth the money. Folks, I wanted to point something out to you. Something very subtle just happened just now, and I just have to stop and talk to you about this for a second. you've heard me talk about my Brain Trust members. And on my website, when I talk about the Brain Trust, the narrative there says that these are people who have demonstrated to me that they are prepared to make a commitment, that they are making a commitment to helping small business owners, that they really actually care about people like you and me. And otherwise, they don't get on my Brain Trust section. Tim Berry is the personification of that specification, because I just asked him to give us his website. He could have given me the website. He could have told you the website that where he sold his products, but he didn't. You know what he did? He gave you the site that's free, that helps you, that I'm sure that there's some place on that website where you can go if you want to order his products. But basically, that's the free site that he's set up so that you can learn how to do a business plan. And Tim, I want to thank you for that. You're a class act.
Oh, well, you give me too much credit, Jim.
Well, no, I don't, because I know you better than my audience does, and I know what kind of person you are. And I just want you to know, folks, there, Tim is an example of the kind of folks that are out there that will help you. There are others out there like Tim. Many of them, all of them are on, all of my Brain Trust members are like that, and they're there to help you. But I really like that kind of attitude, and I appreciate you for that, Tim, and admire you. Let's move on and talk about cash. You said something a minute ago about that when your sales are the best and things are rocking and rolling the most, that's when you, how did you say that? Do you remember?
Well, I'll tell you how I wished I'd said it. I should have said it like the first line in that old famous Charles Dickens novel. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
I love that. That's perfect.
Because that is the real funny quirk, the hiddenness of cash flow.
Yeah.
And I think I'd just as soon tell a story, if you let me.
Go ahead.
Very dear friends of mine had a successful consulting business down in California Bay Area, down in San Francisco, that was growing along. They were doing networks. It was before the internet in the late 80s. And tooling along, they were making $20,000, $30,000 sales a month, and they were doing fine. When they got a large contract from a very large growing company in the Palo Alto area, to do this large contract was going to move their sales up in one fell swoop, like within 3 months, from 20,000-30,000 a month to 80,000 and 100,000 a month.
Wow, home run.
These two partners were happy. They signed the contract. Furthermore, they weren't crazy. They went and made sure they had the resources, and in this case, that's people.
Mm-hmm.
They lined up the people as contractors first with the option to... Whoops, do we need to stop?
Yeah, go ahead. Hang on to that. That's a little cliffhanger. This, folks, this is a good story. You're going to want to hear the rest of this story. We're not going to make you wait any longer for the rest of the story. Tim was telling us about someone that he knows who had, in about a 90-day period, they'd signed a new contract, and they grew their business to where the sales was going to be, what, about quadruple what it had been before, Tim?
Yeah, it was 20 to 30 went up to $80,000 to $100,000 a month.
And they were so excited.
And this was just so much fun. These were good friends. So
it was the best of times.
Vicariously enjoying this was, it was so much fun for them when the business went up all at once. And they were relatively conservative. They didn't just go crazy, yuppie. They waited and they made sure before they did anything really fun that they actually were delivering on the services in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty important. It was networking, and they were networking up this big company. So within about 6 weeks, they had all the people hired, they had the cables in and everything, and the network was working, and so it was just, yuppie, this company was leading to other jobs. It looked like they could keep their business up at that higher level.
Nothing could go wrong.
So they both went to the local dealership, and they each leased a new Mercedes.
Ouch.
Oh, it was wonderful. We went out to dinner with one of these partners and a spouse, and my wife and I went out to dinner with them like the next week in the new Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
And I was happy.
Picked you up and everything.
However, and here's where the story gets relevant to what we're talking about, because they had been a small, closely held business with clients they knew a lot, and now they were in a new business area with new clients, they hadn't reckoned on what actually happened, which was in another 6 weeks, both of those partners were in a local bank signing to second mortgage on each of their respective houses.
Why in the world?
You know, I mean, you have to ask, but you you can already guess what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The business was with a large company, and our friends were assuming that because the invoice said net 30, that they were going to get a very large piece of money soon.
Mm-hmm.
What they discovered is what so many of us discover in consulting and services businesses. They couldn't even go to their client and make problems about this because there was more business coming in the future.
Right.
They simply had to wait.
So how long did they have to wait?
So while they were waiting, they were about to not be able to pay those, when I say resources, I'm talking about real people with families of their own and mortgages of their own to pay and so on, who had done this job beautifully and needed to get paid.
They had the business on the books. They were making a profit.
A wonderful profit on the books at this point because they took the profit when the job was done and the invoices were turned in.
Right.
But it took almost 90 days to get paid.
Wow.
It's funny because that's very common. Every one of our listeners that's dealing with accounts receivable, and I mean, we all know this, right? It's just that in this euphoria we can forget, but wait a minute. What if this company doesn't pay us on time? And my friends back in the 80s were so new to this that they allowed themselves to not plan for that. They should have just had a credit line with the bank. The bank would have loved it if they'd gone 2 months before and said, look, here's this new contract. We need some bridge financing because what if these people don't pay us on time?
They didn't understand cash flow, did they?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Even if they understood cash flow, they had not asked the customer, when will you be paying? What are your payment terms? I mean, we give you net 30, but when should we expect to receive this money? You have a right to ask that question, don't you?
Well, the problem, though, Jim, is when you're dealing with a large company. Now, I spent many years consulting for Apple Computer, for example. I had exactly the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to my client about payment because it wasn't his problem. It wasn't his job. He was director. In my case, he was director of Latin America. In my friend's case, whatever their client's actual title was, it was the same problem. My client was one person in Apple Computer who, when he was satisfied with my work, he would sign an invoice and send it through internal mail to some other person
right.
who didn't know me and didn't give a damn if I had to wait for my money. And,
right. Well, he had his own objectives.
And if I went back to my client saying, hey, I haven't been paid, what's the matter with you, and so on, I wouldn't have more business. I did regular consulting for Apple for 14 years. I was never able to go to my real clients, the people for whom I was working, and solve the cash flow problem because they just passed it on to a finance group, and the finance group was quite frequently part of their job was to delay the payments. That's what they were paid to do.
That's what I meant when I said they had their own objectives. But my point, though, Tim, what I said a minute ago, is at the very beginning when you first are writing up the business, when you're signing the contract, you have a right to say to them, John or Barbara or whoever, my terms are net 30. What is your payment experience? What does it typically take for you to pay? And at that moment in time, they'll say, you know, Tim, you probably need to expect about 45 to 60 days.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then you take that information, go to your bank or wherever, or go to your cash flow projections, stick those numbers in, show that you made the sale today, show that you're going to collect it in 45 to 60 days, and see how much cash you need in the meantime.
And I know we're about to close again for a while, but let's talk about how you change your price and match that, too.
I like that. Good way to go, Tim. Good segue. Tim, folks, Tim wants to draw you a little picture on the radio. Now, what I want to, before he does that, I want you to understand something. This is a little bit of a disclaimer. Tim is a professional. Don't try this at home. Don't try to draw a picture over the radio at home. Now go ahead, Tim.
But before I start, we're going to not forget to talk about how your pricing can change,
okay.
How you can respond to these cash flow things.
That's right.
But there is a picture that, to me, helps understand, because we're talking a lot about this hidden danger and so on, but to help people understand what's going on. Actually, I would like the audience to try this at home. Draw along with me. First, draw a bar of any convenient size. It's going to be a bar chart. And you draw it, you say, that's our assets. And then you draw a bar of the same size, and here comes one of the most immutable laws in business, because accountants say so and God says so. your liabilities and capital will be equal in size to that bar that you drew for your assets. So get that drawn, and then we're going to do the second part. But first, everybody has to see that, and that is one of the absolute rules of business for every business in the Western world. Your assets are equal to liabilities plus capital.
Mm-hmm.
So you draw the one bar as all your assets, and that's probably cash, accounts receivable, inventory, long-term assets, all of that. However big that is, there's a bar of the same size that includes your liabilities and your capital. And you want to kind of think, on this other bar with my liabilities and my capital, how much of that is capital? Because that's fairly important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jim, you tell me, do we think we all have those first two bars?
I think so.
On? Okay. Now what you do is, because sales grow, let's say sales double, you double the size of your assets. So you draw a bar that's now twice as big for the assets. And what happens is, in a normal business, that's roughly going to be true. If your sales double, your assets double.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fairly intuitive. People can understand that.
Right.
Now comes the hard part, and the reason we did this in the first place. Now you have this bar that's twice as big for assets, and I get to ask you, and what happened to your capital and liabilities? Because unless you plan for them, the bar is going to be just as big. That capital liabilities bar will be as big as the assets. So you go from 500,000 in assets to 1 million in assets. And unless you put capital in and borrow long term, what's going to happen is the bar that it comes up to the same size as assets, that capital liabilities, well, the big liability is going to be accounts payable.
Right.
Because if you don't plan, then accounts payable takes up all the slack. And if you only had $100,000 in capital and $400,000 in regular liabilities, and your assets doubled to 1 million, that means you're going to have about some horrible number of thousands of dollars of accounts payable. You're not paying your vendors, you're not making payroll, and you're going broke. That's the picture. And it has to do with that absolute law. It's not because we want it to be, but that's the way it works. Assets will always be equal to capital and liabilities. And if you grow and you don't plan for it, then you're going to have a ton of accounts payable, and that means really unhappy people.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, what you're saying is that this explosion in growth, this doubling in size of your assets and capital, I mean, your liability and capital, is all current expenses, right?
Yeah.
It's things that have to be paid right now.
Yeah, unless you plan and make it capital and long term.
And on the asset side, that doubled as well, but the things that represents is not necessarily assets that are available to you right now.
Well, the classic case is your sales double and your assets double, and it's all accounts receivable.
Right.
People think there's this hidden problem again. People think assets are good because, I mean, the word is assets. It sounds
good. Right.
But in fact, in business, you have to finance those assets. If you have $1 million in assets, you've got to have $1 million in capital and liabilities, or you're out of business.
Well, it's what I call being upside down with your AR and your AP. Your AR, Tim just told you, it took 90 days for that company to collect the money. That's your AR. That was on your asset side. Your accounts payable, those people want you to pay them in 30 days. Payroll has to be paid this week.
Absolutely.
And so that's how you get upside down your cash with your AR and your AP. I do want to talk about, let's tell our audience
solutions
about how to solve some of these problems we've been
talking about. Solutions, yes indeed. And I know we don't have much time left, but one thing we left hanging is that as you get to know the clients, and particularly if you don't know them, a lot of people end up changing the price. I said I was doing this work with construction companies a couple weeks ago. It was fun to watch how quickly they amongst themselves pointed out, oh yeah, when we work for the city doing sidewalks, for example,
mm-hmm.
well, we charge more because we know they take time, and they know it.
They charge
when
more.
We work for this company and so on, we increase it. And it reminded me that when I used to work for big companies doing business plan consulting, some of them paid more than others for the same work because I had to build the financing in.
Time value of money.
Well, here's another couple of quick ones in terms of solutions. Businesses that are dealing with these problems pretty quickly end up with a credit line at the bank. It's very common, right?
Yes.
My advice would be make the line for more than you think you can use, because the bank normally charges a fee for the paperwork, and then you pay interest on what you actually use. So it's scary to make the line high. And those of us who are small business owners don't like it because it feels like more indebtedness. But if you don't need it, you don't use it, and you don't pay for it.
Right.
And if you do need it, it's vital and it's there. So make that credit line higher. Think what, take what you think you're going to need and add half again if the bank will let you.
And basically he's talking about what the example he gave earlier in the hour, those guys that he talked about that rented, that leased the Mercedes, they could have taken that contract and gone to their banker, and they could have financed that contract, the receivables of that contract, couldn't they?
Yes.
Instead of having to second mortgage their home.
Now, and I mentioned there's another one that I was saying, bank credit line, which is based on those receivables, just as you say. There's another one that was vital to me for years that I was in the business plan consulting business dealing with large clients. And I had what they call receivables financing from a company, local company, that offered me this deal where I would take any of my invoices from major companies and they would deposit 80% of that in my bank account and then charge me interest until the client finally paid.
Right.
But I was a professional service with a family to feed and a mortgage to pay, and Apple could take 90 days to pay my invoice for $25,000 or $30,000, and I'd be in a whole world of trouble. But if I got 80% of that advanced and they just took little pieces of interest, I was much, much better off.
Absolutely. And if you have inventory, and many of you know this, but some of you may not, if you have inventory, you can finance that as well. Typically, the percentage that you'll find is 75 to 80% of receivables and 50% of inventory. But it has to be good, usable, current, not obsolete inventory. Right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny because that's exactly the percentage that our bank gives us at that
office
right?
offer. Yeah.
75 and 50.
Yeah. Tim,
now,
that's kind
of... The key to this is you have to know it ahead of time.
That's right.
Why you have to plan.
You don't want to go see your banker after you're already in trouble.
When you're desperate, you're in real trouble. If you just know it's coming, then it's easy to deal with. And if you don't, it's hell.
Tim, that's got to be the last word. Thank you very much. You did a great job, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, the president of Palo Alto Software. Phyllis Martin is our special guest, and it's good to have her back with us. Phyllis is a prolific writer, a captivating speaker. As I mentioned to you earlier in the hour, Phyllis Martin is a...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.